KN4 VWA.
W4NGU.
Wow! Good morning, big guy.
What you been up to, my friend?
I'm prepared to apologize in advance. I'm going to go ahead and use that four-letter word. I'm headed out this morning to
work. Happens to the best of us.
Doing my best. I mean, I got my stimulus check in over the week, or last week, and I've been doing my best not to turn a wrench, but it's just not today. I got to go to work.
Hey, brother. What else you been up to? I've heard you trying to find a DMR radio.
Actually, considering it again. Patrick and a few of the other guys, so they're finding all kinds of DMR repeaters around the area, and there's one on Paris Mountain and up on Caesar's Head, probably on that 145.7, you know, the repeater that had the Aries on, I think.
You're also that you'd been talking to Rick out in Texas, so I figured you were going to get into that. Is that what he gave to Baronk, and was it DMR or was it Fusion?
Was DMR, and Baronkin has, he's been having a great time with that thing. He just plugs in Group W91 and talks all over the world with that crazy little handheld. But there again, he is, for the most part, locked into his Wi-Fi or his hotspot there at his house. And if I had to do that, I wouldn't really be interested. You know, if I could do this in the vehicle and go around the world with a DMR from a DMR repeater around the world, then, you know, that's a whole different story.
My mind is, you know, how's that different from Echolink? It's always been capable of doing that, even from your phone, but, you know, you can't ever find anybody on Echolink outside our local area, hardly. It's every repeater you connect to, there's nobody on it. So is there anybody on DMR?
Steve says that pretty much he can go worldwide anytime, but there again, you know, you're hitting a worldwide coverage. You know, that's a good question. That's a real good question. What the volume of traffic is on the DMR. So that's just part of what I'm researching on, and I gotta figure out what's going on there. But no, I hadn't talked to Rick out in Texas. Matter of fact, you know, I haven't talked to him at all. The only person I've really been talking to is Bronkin.
Well, like I say, Echolink's worldwide, so that doesn't mean anything to me. I saw on Facebook, you know, they have people, do you want to be friends, that you scroll by that haven't invited you, but they're just suggesting friends. There was a lady that was a DRO from Texas, and I wondered if that was his wife. You don't know her first name, do you?
On those recommendations, they usually list how many mutual friends, and if you took a look, you might figure it out that way. But Diorio's a moderately unusual name, so, trying to remember the name of the town he lives in. It starts with a G. It's not Gunnison, that's Alabama. Grundy or something like that, Texas.
Well, I wouldn't friend his wife unless I friended him, and I don't know, it seemed like we used to be friends, but I don't remember a post in forever. But you know those algorithms, it gets to where you get posts from about 10 people.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something, Phil. I haven't been on Facebook in several months. I really just don't pay that much attention to it.
Open up with friends. I'm not addicted to it, but they do have some neat videos on all subjects that just kind of scroll by, and I like to watch some of those. But how's your airplane doing? And I hear that David is about to get cranked up with his gas plane.
I hope so. We got to get that boy in the air. I'm just trying to get him inspired a little bit, get him to come out and watch us fly. That'll kind of inspire him to really get on the stick and get it moving. I went out and flew, I flew Saturday morning. Phil, you know, the Ides of March, the winds of spring, man, I tell you what, in 30 years, I've been flying the last 3 or 4 weeks, and Saturday morning was the first morning I went out there with dead calm air. There was no wind. Oh, it was beautiful.
Send me some pictures on your phone.
I need to take pictures while I'm flying, so maybe I'll get Sue to go out there with me and take a picture or two. But you need to come out there with us, you know, just for curiosity, one weekend, and just come out and fly a little bit. Maybe we'll get you inspired.
Well, I'm wondering when you're going to turn part of your driveway into a runway.
I was out there looking at it yesterday evening. Oh, boy, I tell you what, I'm going to have to come off the hip with some cash, baby. I'm going to, that driveway of mine, that last storm we had, wash my daggone driveway down again. I'm going to have to go ahead and bite the bullet. I'm going to reroute my driveway from the road, which means I'm going to have it cut and graveled. I'm probably going to go ahead and just have asphalt put down. That's going to cost me a chunk of change. You don't know how much a foot it runs 9 feet wide anymore, do you?
No, I've been out of subdivision paving, knowing the prices for so long, I wouldn't know. But I know you got to deal on that last stuff you put down, but it didn't last too good in my book. I wouldn't do that again.
I'll go ahead and say it. I got took. That stuff was, it just, no. I'd never do that again. No, I'm looking for actual asphalt. The last time I had asphalt put down, it was like a square yard, $9 a square yard, which means that if you get a 1 foot length by 9 feet wide, that's $9. That's 1 yard. So, if it's $20 a yard now, that just scares me thinking about it. I got 1,500 feet at $20 a yard. What's that come to?
It comes to eating into the ham radio budget more than I like.
Right. I just don't want to. Anyhow, we'll discuss that on the air. But in the meantime, so how's Teresa?
Good. She'll be beginning, I guess, today her fifth week at work. So she's doing good on that account, and my dad's home from the hospital, been home about 3 days, I guess. We really thought he came home too early, but it's turned out okay, so he won't say much about it, but he waited a long time to have that surgery, and for nothing, just for fear of it at his age. But they cut on a 90-year-old, and he's home and doing fine, so it can be done if it's careful.
Good, but is he up and walking and running around?
He's not running around, but he's up and walking.
Up and walking at 90 is the same as running around, baby. That's good.
And Ashlyn is in Florida with one of her theater her friends that she graduated with for spring break. So we got the house to ourselves for a while. And then she's got, her mother had, Teresa's mother had surgery this past week to replace an aorta. And she's doing well. And Teresa's going to go up this weekend for about a week to be with her mom. So it's been an active week in my family, active several weeks.
Okay. Teresa must be going into spring break then.
And she gets her second shot tomorrow, so she's going to be safe to be around her mom, she feels.
Well, that's good. That's good. All right. Well, hey, it sounds like you may have the house all to yourself for a short time.
The question of that is I won't have to wear headphones at the ham radio desk.
You got used to the headphones, and now you're going to get used to the sound of the headphones. Oh, you'll have to put them right back on. You're well trained.
Went out and speaker through my headphones, just plug into that. And I don't use much DSP. I leave it at about 9 o'clock because it use a good bit. It does change the sound of sideband a little bit to me, unless the signal is real strong. But I just like that it knocks off some of that background noise. It just does a good job. I mean, it was well worth the money as far as I'm concerned.
Knocks off all the white noise background. And when you knock out the white noise background, hey, are you picking up signals that you had never heard before?
It doesn't really vary sensitivity. It just makes them better. Of course, I guess if you knock off enough noise, you're bound to hear something you didn't before. But I had a pretty good radio before on that account, so it's helped me. I really like the sound of it, but it hasn't really opened up anything I hadn't heard before.
What I'm saying is when you knock out the white noise, it brings out the signals that are there. And, man, that faint little signal off in the white noise, you kick that filtration up, you just bring them right out. I love it.
When you crank down the bandwidth super narrow and crank up some of that DSP and then back off on your RF gain a little bit when you're listening to CW, you don't hear anything but a tone. It's like you're working with a code practice oscillator.
There you go. Well, in the meantime, what's your count? Roger.
I don't even keep it yet. I'm not on LOTW.
Okay. Well, I got to get back on there. I spent a span. Remember those bad lightning storms that came through? Well, I just completely disconnected everything when those bad lightning storms came through, and I haven't been back on. I got to jump back in there.
Yeah, I got disconnected real good during that. Man, they were pretty severe. I hope, of course, I've been back on since then, so I know it didn't do any damage, but, you know, we put these big antennas in the air. It seems like to me it's just lightning catchers. We don't ground them good.
You're right there. I tell you what, man. And that night that it was popping lightning like that, it was rattling the house, baby. You see the flash, and there was no sound in between. It was just flash, boom.
Wasn't some good quality X-ray equipment installed so these people can take your money out of their pocket and give it to you.
You think?
Lake Bowen Fish Camp the other night, and Teresa and I were eating with one of her teacher friends, and that lady's daughter had started about 6 weeks ago at the fish camp, saved several hundred dollars. She just really excited about it. Well, she was a little tired, And some more people came into her section, and she said, "Oh, I got to go help them." I said, "Well, they got your money in their pocket." She said, "I like that."
Yeah, Sue and I went out there last night. Went out to Bowen Fish Camp, and it's just good, like it always is. You know, they're steady. They put out a good product.
A little bitty kid, and I mean little bitty kid. If I was good, they would take me to the fish camp. So I've been walking in that building for a long time. I don't know how many ownership changes there have been, but I believe I've been going in there 60 years.
How long has the place been there?
Forever.
Been there that long. There used to be a place up on Highway 14. It was called Henderson's Fish Camp. And I mean, that man was knocking down the money. I mean, you couldn't get in the place. It was wall to wall every evening. And he did a great job. That was around, we knew about it from about 68 to about 71 or 2. Because I used to go in there with Mom and Daddy after church. Matter of fact, that was earlier than that, probably 65 to about 72. But you know that yard bird got sent off to prison? Him and a couple of his cohorts stole a truck full of Wrangler blue jeans, and he was selling them right out of the front of the fish camp. Stupidest thing I ever seen. Blow a good gig like that, and then over trying to make a piddly little bit of money on blue jeans.
NGU, aren't people stupid? Good golly. Of course, he thought it was so out in the open that nobody would question it, I guess. Who knows what's in the mind of an idiot, if anything. Well, I was born in Greenville, at Spartanburg, and grew up in Greenville, but we lived in North Carolina for a while. I think about 5 years. They gave Daddy a Metropolitan branch up there, and we moved up there for a little while, and we used to go to a place called Weinberger's Fish Camp. And you know you're in a real fish camp when, you know, you got the plywood booths and all that stuff. And they sold a flounder plate that it was a whole flounder. And it was hanging off the plate on each side. It was a great big giant thing, and you'd eat one side and flip it over and eat the other one, and I mean, it was some kind of good, and they lasted for many years. I don't know if the guy died or sold out or what. It doesn't exist anymore, but it was a real treat for a little kid like me.
Now, I know that you guys had to have gone out to the old mill stream.
Oh, many times, and fed the bear. Yeah, man, it was still operating. I remember going out there one time with one of my big old, looked like something out of Vietnam. It was it was bigger than a bag phone. And that was one of the first cell phones I can remember sitting in that booth and everybody looking at me because I had a phone.
You know, I worked out there in, let's see, what year was that? That was 1970. I worked out there during school. I was a sophomore, and I just gotten my driver's license, 15 years old, got my driver's license, and I'd take that old, remember that old blue dune buggy I had? I'd drive it out there and go to work, and that man would feed us our supper and charge us 50 cents for our supper, all we could eat. Well, I got out there one Saturday evening before he opened up, and ate 3 1/4 dozen grade A Chesapeake large fried oysters. He couldn't believe it.
I bet that's when he changed the rules on that deal.
His name was John Lee, and I tell you what, he was a good guy. He was a real good guy. And it was a pleasure to work for him. Those boys out there, we would run them tables and take the refills of fish out to folks. Man, we got it done. We didn't, you know what? It was a pleasure to work for somebody that appreciated you.
It always is. Yeah, once in a while you'd read in the paper somebody had hurt the bear or poked it or something, you know, some kind of idiot. Always somebody messing up stuff. Well, man, I'm lighter in the wallet. I didn't want to let it go, but sometimes you just got to. We got behind on groceries and then bought a few things for my parents, and then bought two sets of eyeglasses, and I left $900 in Costco Saturday. Four.
You, son. Well, ouch. Is that you with glasses and Teresa and... Hey, boy.
Well, the insurance will pay me back for the glasses, all but about $100. And there's a couple of things I bought for my parents they wanted me to pick up. They'll give me the money back for that. But it was just a couple of dollars less. It wasn't $900 even. But when I got up to the register and they said that, Teresa and I looked at our sales and I said, oh, my goodness. I guess we'll skip the hot dog today.
I hear you. Man, I tell you what, where was I the other day? Oh, how often you get through Glendrum? Down there on 176 Asheville Highway. You know where Hare and the Hound is, right?
Of course.
Highway 176, and you just keep right on going past the Hare and the Hound. Right down there on the right used to be a place called Kent's. Well, Boots and Sonny's out of Spartanburg has come up there and remodeled the place finally and got it opened back up, and I went in there and had a couple hot dogs in there. Oh, that was good hot dogs. I couldn't believe it.
You had done that, but I haven't been in there to test it out.
Part of your typical clock restaurant, you know, like that one on Wade Hampton, that one over there, but their hot dogs, the slaw, are good. The chili is good. And I used to go to a place on Wade Hampton called Tom's Dogs, just down from the subway, there at 14th, and it was the best hot dogs I ever had. I used to go in there all the time, and then it got sold out to a Pakistani, and, anyhow, it just went right in the dumper. It just went right in the dumper real fast. They cheapened everything up. It's just no good anymore. And I'd been looking for a good hot dog. By George, they've got a pretty reasonable hot dog.
You won't find it at the Dog House in Campobello. They just won't buy a quality wiener. They bleed all over the bun, and it's kind of sickening looking. It tastes okay if you just eat it and don't look at what you're eating.
KN4VWA. Now, listen, I went into the doghouse about 8 months ago, and that's the last time, buddy. I'll never go back in there. I just, you know, if I want to commit suicide, I won't do it through gastrointestinal suicide. Man, that place, it's just no.
You know, that's a nice little concept, the dog house, and then they feed you in a steel dog bowl. Trouble is they got two big dogs at the back door. You wonder if they wash the bowls good before they put your meal in it.
Now, that, like I said, that's Tomaine heaven up there, Bubba. I don't go back in that joint. Well, listen, I'm destinated at my workplace, and so when are we going to get together and go hit the fish camp, bud?
We're going to have to do it soon. We might have to do it in this next week while the family's gone. I'll be free.
Or in terms of you and Teresa and me and Sue.
Well, let me ask you about Sue before I let you go. Is her leg okay now?
Actually, kind of walking around the house a little bit without the boot. Man, there for a while, she couldn't put her foot down without that boot. It was tough on her. But she's starting to come around. She's doing okay. we were at church Sunday, and this old boy at church looks at me and says, well, how bad was the surgery? I said, well, she didn't have to have surgery on her foot. The way she broke it, you know, it's, you know, he said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I said, well, what are you talking about? He says, how bad was the surgery to get that foot of hers extracted? He's a mess.
All right, Steve, I'll let you go. W4, never give up.
Good day, Phil. Have a good day at work. Now, I'll talk to you again soon. We got to get together and go over there to the Bowen Fish Camp, bud. All right. Later on. K and 4, BWA. Clear after you find me.